Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is recorded in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our text. Fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus our Lord, striking contrast in liturgical colors between last week's red and this week's white may hide really the link that is in fact there. Friday's theaters and home televisions were marked by the color red, by blood as Halloween revived dozens of movies about gore and about blood and about Michael Myers, graphic images, maimed bodies, entertaining audiences, the very same day as we celebrated Reformation. Just as the early Roman crowds 2,000 years ago in the Colosseums watched hundreds of Christians undergo the very same kind of horrors. It's funny what entertains us. Encouraged by God's Spirit, they ran a gauntlet of whips, had their bodies pulled apart on the rack. As Eusebius' church history describes us, this is a horror story that many Christians haven't read, but they may be able to mark off dozens of horror movies that they have seen in their day. They were forced to sit on red-hot iron chairs which roasted their flesh. They had molten lead poured over them. Dozens of hungry lions, tigers, and bears created a scene, a dinner, entertainment theater, if you will, and left the grounds drenched in their blood. Eusebius reports that it forced Christians to, quote, endure every torment that the frenzied mob on one side of the stadium or other demanded and howled for. Such reports dramatically illustrate the continuity between red and white in our pyramids. And they recall John's passage in the book of Revelation in which he writes that all those saints had washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. But this is a day where we, in fact, focus on all saints, not merely those in ancient times who gave their lives, but all, living and dead, who, by faith in Christ, became saints. Now, the Lutheran reformers, who we also honor today, were dedicated to promote the biblical, apostolic, Christian, and what they saw as Catholic teaching. In fact, the Lutheran Church has continued to see itself as one with the Catholic Church of all the ages, teaching the doctrine of Scripture. And they had much to teach us, and they still continue to have much to teach us. The apology to the Augsburg Confession taught that the saints were to be remembered. In fact, it pointed out that perhaps the heavens were filled with saints praying for us, and maybe even Mary prayed for us as part of the church triumphant. But they also taught that the saints were to be remembered not by praying to them or venerating them or looking to them for redemption, but as examples that God wants to save the whole world in Jesus Christ, as he wants to save everybody today. He wants everybody to become in Christ a saint. The saints of the past were there to strengthen faith. And we recall that, not merely the works of the saints, but recall, if you will, the sins of the saints and how God dealt with them. Those are the stories of faith that we want to remember. Peter, who denied Christ 3 times, even though he was told that if you shall deny me, he who denies Christ before anybody denies Christ, will be denied by the Father who is in heaven. And so, in fact, Peter, who had denied Jesus, should have, in fact, paid the price by going to hell. But Jesus forgave him. And Paul writes also that he was the chief of sinners. He who had been called by God to be an apostle had, in fact, seen to it that people had lost their lives. Christians had lost their lives. And David had committed adultery. And there are many other saints. And what does God want us to learn from them? What kind of a God he is to sinners who repent of their sins and who turn to him. Does this describe our hearts? Convinced that we are sinners, convicted of our sin, realizing that we need to turn to God and that we cannot win by ourselves salvation? That's really one of the lessons of the saints that is oftentimes forgotten. It is not merely the lives of the saints doing good deeds. It is how God dealt with them and how they, as fallen sinners, also were brought back by the very hand of God. We should imitate the saints, as the Lutheran confessions remind us, by repentance and faith. And we should be reminded that if we choose not to see in God the gracious hand of forgiveness, that God turns his back on us. In fact, we are all born sinners and do not have within ourselves the power to go and to choose God, but rather God is calling all of us by his Spirit to see in him salvation. In fact, Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. So if you're sorry for your sins, that's the work of God upon your heart. That's contrition and sorrow. And one becomes a saint by simply realizing that in Jesus Christ, God has removed our sins. You know, on this day called All Saints Day, it's real easy to emphasize the work of the saints, those ancient believers living faithful lives. But really what it does above all is it recalls to us God's faithfulness, who by his pure grace calls sinners to repentance and faith. Last week's theme during the Reformation lectures was about God's will. And you, those of you who attended the lectures, heard the lectures go on at some length about the nature of God's will. And in this text we see how God, in his will, called Paul to be an apostle. In his will, he called the Ephesians to be Christians. And in that very act of saying to the Ephesians, grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he was calling anybody to believe that, as today he calls people to believe in him. When Paul wrote Timothy, he really had the same message. God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. It's interesting, isn't it? Paul begins every single one of his 13 letters this very same way, and it has led many people who preach from the pulpit to begin their sermons this very same way, because it is like an abstract. Few of us would take vanilla and drink it straight out of a bottle, and yet it abstracts down the very powerful message. And so if you want vanilla flavor, you just put a few drops in. But with this particular greeting, you have the entire corpus of God's grace and forgiveness coming to us. We see grace, which is the unmerited love of God for us, sinners who in and of ourselves cannot choose God, have nothing to offer God. And then when he says peace, keep in mind that every single one of the major festivals of the church here are about the peace that God has given us in Christ. The angels on Christmas heard the angels on Christmas heard God himself speak these words. And the shepherds in the fields who were afraid had the angels say to them, fear not. We bring tidings of peace to you. Jesus, when he appeared to the apostles Easter morning, spoke the words of peace. And Peter, on Pentecost, brought a message of peace. It was that continual message of peace being a believer in Christ through that faith that God the Holy Spirit works. How can this letter written to some Christians in Ephesus 2,000 years ago be for us? It was written to you, not merely for the Ephesians. In this same epistle, Paul wrote, listen, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once off have been brought near by the blood of Christ Jesus. That coded phrase, far off, meant the Gentiles. And when Peter in his Pentecost sermon spoke the words, he echoed what Paul said here, those very same ideas. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. That phrase, far off, was referring not only to the Gentiles of Paul and Peter's epistles, it was referring to us, to all whom God continues to call by his grace and mercy, to be what? To be saints, to be holy ones, to be declared righteous in Jesus Christ. And we follow the model of the saints of all time when we believe it. Amen. Let us rise and pray. O Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Christ our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those unspeakable joys which you have prepared for those who truly love you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Depart in peace.